there, Green Future Growers. Thanks for joining us today. If you're new to the show, I hope you'll subscribe on iTunes or your favorite Android app, and let's get growing. Hey, Green Future Growers. Do you love to listen to audio as much as I do? Have you ever tried an audiobook? As a fan of this podcast, you must already enjoy listening to stories just like I do. Well, the Organic Gardener podcast has teamed up with Audible to offer you a free audiobook. Just go to www.organicgardenerpodcast.com/book or just type book into the search bar at theorganicgardenerpodcast.com and you can get entered to get listening to your first audiobook today. Hello? Sam?
Hello, Jackie.
Hi! Sorry I'm doing? Late.
That's all right.
How are you today?
I'm doing pretty well. It's a nice day out here in Port Townsend, Washington.
Nice! Well, that's good because it's pouring rain here, but we need the rain. I'm not complaining.
Oh.
So that's interesting that it's because you're not very far away from me.
No, it kind rained of. Yesterday. Oh. It rains like every other day here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I guess Washington. So is Port Townsend, that's close to Seattle, right?
It's a 40-minute ferry ride across the water. And then it's an hour car ride to the very tip of the Olympic Peninsula.
Oh, cool. I love the Olympic Peninsula. I've gone camping there twice, and it's just some of the best memories, just beautiful. You know, you never forget it, right? It's like one of those you got to go there places.
Yeah, it's absolutely stunning. I'm actually going camping tomorrow. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, so I always like to start up by telling everybody that because it's recorded, it's really easy to edit. So, like, you know, if you need to put me on hold, you want to change an answer, you need to get the cat to, you know, some food or get a drink, you know, it's really easy to edit, so don't worry about that. And okay. Then we don't have the best sound. Are you like inside, outside, windy? It sounds windy where there's like a static.
I have headphones in. Let me see if I can change. How's that?
There's still like a staticky, like a windy type of noise.
Okay, let me move inside. Give me 1 second.
Yeah, no worries. Sound is important. I get like 2 complaints on my show. Don't interrupt my guest, and sound is my sound quality. So it's better that we have good sound to begin with.
Absolutely. How's the day going?
It's going good. So I just bought a new truck a couple of weeks ago, and I took it into town to get an oil change. I got up this morning. I was like, I have an interview tomorrow at 11. I totally messed the day up. And then I called my husband. I'm like, oh my gosh, my interview starts in an hour. And I was sitting there getting the oil change. But they said that the truck is a good truck. So we just bought it. It's got 150,000 miles on. But I think I'm already in love with it. I've already put 1,000 miles on it in 2 weeks since we've owned it.
Nice.
And just, wow. I know. I live in Montana. I drive a lot. I had to clean out my classroom. And I know it's funny because my mom's car, I think, has like, it's like 6 years old and has like 10,000 miles on it. And I'm like, you know, I'm the total opposite. But it seems to be a pretty nice truck and a good price. Seems like the guy took good care of it. So that made me feel good. And I'm going to Bozeman this weekend, which is like another, I don't know how many hundred miles for training next week. And hopefully if I take my own car, I can see my grandkids and my stepdaughters down by there. And just, it's nice to be able to drive. I haven't had a car since Easter.
Wow.
So I am just excited to have a car. I've been kind of hitching rides, and my husband's old pickup's kind of doesn't go very far. And so that's my day was, it's nice. It's nice. Like, and yesterday was really my first day of summer vacation because I was late getting my classroom cleaned out. And I went to Glacier National Park. This friend of mine's here from that I went to high school with in New York. So that was kind of cool. Good way to start vacation.
Glacier? I hear Glacier is just beautiful. I've never been.
Oh, yeah. Well, the main road, the Going to the Sun Road, is still closed. So it's June 18th. Usually, a lot of times they get it open right about soon. You know, and like the longest day of the year is coming up, so she was thinking, wow, it's really light laid out. And I was like, yep, it's not going to get dark till like 11.
Yeah, it's nuts.
We don't need daylight savings here in northern Montana like in other places. You know, when I go to my mom's in New York, I can see it, but here it's late, really late. So, but this going to the Sun Road isn't open, so you can't go very far. We did do this hike to Avalanche Lake that I've never got to do that we did finally, so I was super excited about that. But it was a long hike, and I don't know, it was said it was only 2 miles, but it sure felt like it was a long ways. It was up, but it was just gorgeous. I mean, waterfalls, the rivers running.
Oh man, it sounds beautiful.
It is. Ooh, it looks like they're getting close. So let's see. You can drive 15 miles from the west entrance, but it doesn't give you any kind of an idea of plowing photos. When it's going to open. They're just keeping us all on the edge. But it seems like they should be. Oh, it looks like there's still a bit of snow up there. So you can't drive over the pass yet. So you're very limited to where you can go. But we did it. It was a really pretty hike. Yeah, you should definitely try to come see Glacier at some point if you haven't seen it. And you know, the glaciers are melting. There's only like, I think, 20 years left or something.
Yeah, I really want to get out there. There's a hike that actually goes from the Olympic Peninsula out here to Glacier National Park that I want to do.
There is?
It's called the Pacific Northwest Trail. It's
Really?
about 1,500 miles, yeah.
I thought the Pacific Northwest Trail, I guess, went like north south for some reason, down towards
There's
South
a
Mexico. But I guess that
couple of
would
them.
make sense.
There's one called the Pacific Crest Trail, and
Oh.
that runs from Mexico to Canada.
Oh.
That's 2,658.8 miles.
Cool. How far is it this way, do you know?
From the Olympics to Glacier is, I believe, 1,500 miles on the
That's
Pacific
still a
Northwest.
way. That's still a ways.
It takes about 3 months to hike.
Oh, so look, I'm reading this. So you did do? You went from Mexico to Canada?
Yeah, I through hiked it in 2015.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, so it took 5 months to finish, to do it all at once.
So how do you call, is it Vinder? It's not
Vendor, yeah.
Vinder, right? It's Vinder.
It's Vinder. When I first started this, I actually called it Vinder. And then as soon as I got it printed, people called it Vinder. And I just kind of thought, you know, it's easy for me to change how I say it than get them to change how they say it. So,
It's like the Wonders. Did you
yeah.
ever see that movie, Do the Right Thing, I think it's called, or whatever, or just do that, I don't know. But it's about this like one hit wonder band, and they were called the Wonders, but they wanted it spelled ONE, like number one, and everybody was calling them the Oneters. So they had to change it to the WONDER Wonders. Anyway, I think your sound's a little better. Still a little tiny bit of windy, but oh, we'll just go with
Sure,
it.
okay, I'm inside now.
All right. So let's see. So you have a copy of the questions I usually ask?
Yeah, I have them in front of me.
Okay. And then oh yeah, you sent them back to me all filled out, didn't you? Okay. 'Cause usually it's just like so you can follow it.
Oh, okay. I just thought I'd give you a little heads up of
Yeah,
what
that's nice. Wait, let me open that.
Yeah, gives you a little background about me and where I come from and my background, and then what Bender is, I think, a little bit, and then my
Now,
gardening experiences.
you must be a millennial, right?
I'm 26.
Nice. I love the millennials. I talk about how much I love the millennial. I'm working on this like millennial video I want to do this summer.
Really?
Like, just this very short. Well, so this listener, it's so funny. So this listener writes me and he sends me this link on Facebook, and it's like to this guy who's totally bashing the millennials. And he's like, Jackie, every time you mention the millennials, I think of this video. And it's so funny because he finds out he's a millennial after you sends it to me besides. But I do, because I think the millennials are the generation that's going to just, they're already rocking this world. They care about social issues. They care about the planet. They care about, and they want. And so it's like this little song that goes to like the Beatles, Obla Dee, Obla Da thing, I think. And so I wrote my own little. So I really want to get that video up soon because I love a millennial. So you're just another rock star millennial to add to my proof of concept or whatever it is. Because people are always like, oh, the millennials are so lazy, and oh, the millennials this, and oh, the money. And I, all the millennials I talk to, like whether they're gardeners or they're in my podcasting group, I think they're awesome. So.
We're a little lazy, but we find ways to be more efficient so we can be lazy. Through
Maybe.
the use of technology,
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. That's it. I just think, I don't know. A lot of millennials I know are some of the hardest working people I've ever met. Maybe they have their lazy moments. But I think they, I don't know. Anyway, welcome to the Organic Gardener podcast today. I am just like super excited to introduce my featured guest today, Sam Lilly. He's got a business called Veggie Vinder, and he's also another rock star millennial. So, welcome to the show, Sam.
Thanks, Jackie. Thanks for having me.
And you know what? I'll just let you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us about you and where you came from. Like, we've been talking a little bit in the pre-chat, and we have lots in common, and just I'm just super excited, but I'll let you go ahead and tell people about yourself.
Sure. So, my name's Sam Lilly. I'm 26. I'm the founder and CEO of Vendor. You can find us on veggievendor.com. I live in Port Townsend, Washington, which is a small, rural, Victorian, artsy seaport village, or town, I should say, in the upper left peninsula of Washington. There's about 9,000-10,000 people here. It's predominantly a retirement town. I'm originally from San Diego. I graduated from San Jose State in 2015. And then after I graduated, I hiked from Mexico to Canada on the Pacific Crest Trail. After I got done with the trail, I had to mentally kind of readjust to society because I had done it solo. So I was used to talking to myself and trees and animals and the plants. Then I applied to about 106 jobs across four different states. I have a degree in business. I received one offer to sell to cold call, selling background check technology, which I declined. And then I tried to develop a mobile app for plant identification, because when I was hiking, I saw all these different plants and flowers, and I had no idea what they were. And I just thought it would be a great idea to be able to take a photo and have it, tell you what it is. So I
Is there
drew up
an app that already does that?
Yeah, there is. There's a couple of them. My Garden Answers is one. And let's see. I can't remember the name of the other one right off the top of my head.
Okay, sorry to interrupt. Keep going
Yeah,
with your story.
so I drew up a bunch of designs for this mobile app and whole business plan, and I went to the Silicon Valley Business Plan Competition in
Ooh.
2016, made it to the finals.
Really?
Yeah, we pitched, or I pitched at the semis, I pitched at the finals, and I placed last in the finals. So I didn't get any kind of funding. It was pretty much just like a, good job, but there's a lot you still got to do. There's some changes. We don't really think this is the right type of idea or product.
I know, but still, first you've got proof of concept because there's two other apps at least out there doing it. And then to make it to the finals is still like a huge thing, and I'll bet you learned a ton.
I learned a ton, but when I came back, I was kind of torn up a little bit. I had worked, about 5 months on this thing, and to be told it wasn't really the right product, and so I also took a look at how much it would cost to build something like this,
Oh.
and I was getting quotes from between $500,000 and $700,000.
Oh my goodness.
Which I don't have. It's,
Right.
it's not like I've got an extra 700K sitting around. So I kind of took a step back and thought about what I wanted to do. That's when I applied to all those companies. And then I went into the Business Resource Center here in Port Townsend and just asked what kind of resources they have. They told me to come back to a young professionals meeting. That was happening the following week. So I did, and we had a roundtable discussion with about 20 other people, and we were talking about positives and negatives. And, the main topics that were coming up were the fact that the cost of living in the town is kind of high. So you have to work 2 to 3 jobs to live here and make ends meet, which means there's not a lot of time to go to farmers markets. Because they only happen Wednesdays, I think at noon or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, or Saturdays. So there's no time to go to the farmers market. They end up going to Safeway because it's easily accessible, but and it's kind of cheap, the produce, but it's really low quality. So as they're talking about these problems, I'm thinking, wow, I think I could help them out in some way. So I said, you're telling me if you have a service that provides you access to local organic produce that's reasonably priced, you had to have the option to get it delivered, and you would know where it's coming from, you guys would use it? And every single person in the room said yes.
Wow.
So I left, I walked home. I said, okay, I'll figure it out. So I walked home, and as I was walking home, it was, let's see, late June. I saw everything growing in people's front yards and just thought, what if you could just buy from a neighbor? Why not? So I just walked up to a door that had, a big apple tree in the front yard, knocked on the door and said, hey, I noticed you have apples. Yeah, have you ever thought about selling them? And usually the response would be, no. And I'd say, well, would you be interested? And they'd say, all right, why not? I said, okay, I'll be back. And that's kind of how it got started. I just walked door to door, knocking on doors, asking if I can sell their veggies and fruits. And it started on phone calls and emails, and then biking on my bicycle, these orders to and from customers and growers. And we delivered over 300 pounds of backyard produce within 3 months.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy.
It was a ton of produce, and I was probably biking 50 miles a week or something like that.
I want that job. That sounds awesome.
It was a lot of fun, and meeting the growers, and they would invite me into their garden. We'd get our hands into the soil, and I would learn all these different gardening systems. And then meeting the buyers, who happened to be usually families, and I'd knock on the door and I'd have a big box of veggies, and I remember having a kid open the door, and really he screamed, "Yay, veggies!" And I thought, wait a minute, so that just happened? When's the last time I heard a kid say, "Yay, veggies!" And then they opened up the box and started eating these plums and taking big bites of kale. It was just an amazing experience to see that. And then the parents got to see, they get a printout of who their gardener is, where their gardener is. So here it's Port Townsend, and their growing methods. What kind of fertilizer is being used? Do they use mulch? Is it a permaculture system? Is it raised beds? Is it aquaponics? And then I would supply a little picture of their garden.
Gosh, I feel like I'm talking to the founder of Amazon like 25 years ago before Amazon started. Like, where you're going to be 10 years from now, like, you've done so much of the best business practices. Like, because I don't know why, but I'm like obsessed with business podcasts. And like, even I made a whole shelf of business books today. And everything that you have said are like the key secrets to success that other people have said. And especially like the guy, John Lee Dumas. Have you, like, do you listen to Entrepreneur on Fire at all?
I haven't. Is that a podcast?
Oh my gosh, you have to check it out. You're going to love it. And not only that, John was in San Diego for up until they just moved to Puerto Rico a year ago. But yeah, you have to check out Entrepreneur. You should get on Entrepreneur on Fire because you could teach people so much on his show that, you know, because his show reaches out to people who want to start a business. And you're doing, he's always going, like, his big thing lately is do things that don't scale. And you biking around, carrying this produce, like, I can see how this is going to spread. Plus, my husband's always asking for this app. He's always like, where's, like, I should just be able to sell my little bit of extra. I don't have enough yet to, like, reach out to grocery stores. I don't have enough to, like, you know, we go to the health food store and she's like, well, I need, you know, on a consistent basis, I need to know you're going to have, like, 20 pounds of carrots every 2 days or whatever the heck it is. Right. You know, like, she can't just use my one little bag of carrots that I have at the one time when my carrots are extra, but... You are solving so many problems and you're going out there, and I bet the Shark Tank people would love you because, you know, what's his name? Who's the big guy on Shark Tank that's always like, if you haven't gone out and done your door-to-door sales, I don't even want to talk to you. And here you are, like, and then I also love the part about you're telling people about their farmer. Everything. Yeah, not only are they learning about their farmer, but they're learning techniques. Like, you're educating people. Like, look, you could do this. I bet you didn't know you could do this.
Yeah,
I'm be
that's
quiet now.
Cool too. You know, the because some of them are gardeners themselves, and so they get to learn a little bit about what other growers are doing in the area. And now that it's an online platform, you can communicate with other growers. Growers
oh my
can
gosh.
Share tips and tricks. If someone's having some kind of insect infestation, you know, they can ask other growers, "Hey, has this happened to you? What have you done to solve it?" And as far as, you know, you talked about not being able to sell to like Safeway or your little co-op because you don't produce enough. That's exactly what this is for. This is really just for getting rid of the excess that you can't eat that usually goes to waste rotting on the ground or in compost. A lot like, you know, all those cherry tomatoes that come up or the kale that's all in there or the apples that just fall on the trees. You can't eat it all. Or you can't give it away because even some of your neighbors are like, "Hey, man, that's too much. I can only eat so many tomatoes."
All right, Sam, hold on. Do you have any? I better call you on a landline because this is, for one, it's too good of information to take a chance. Someone's not going to listen to it, and we're all of a sudden we're getting a lot of static again. Do you have a landline? Oh. I'll just call you on that. I don't know. Well, we'll give it a try. Oh my gosh, I just feel so honored to get to talk to you and share your story today. You are so not lazy. I don't know if you were talking about yourself, but you are definitely not a lazy person in any way, shape, or form. I mean, hiking that whole trail, what'd you say it was, 2,500 miles?
2,658.8
miles. And just... like your pet, like all the things that you've done with this business, and it's just going to go. Like, I know this is going to take off. Like, I just so know so many people have been looking for this fix. And like the way that you went to the meeting and listened to what people were wondering about and said, I can solve that problem, and just got on it. And then the other thing I love is the way that you, have the communication, the way people can talk to each other, because, you know, that's like a big part of Facebook is like in Facebook groups, like the, why they're so successful is it gives people a chance to talk about those things. And then just my last point is when I interviewed Jean Martin Fortier, who's like this great big gardener up in Canada, he talked about an app or some email that he got that like kind of warned him of like some bugs that maybe be coming through that he should be looking out for. And he said like that was one of his biggest resources. And so you're putting that connection in there too. Like not only could they learn how to, you know, if they have a problem with bugs or an insect or something, but also like it will give them a heads up that maybe they should be looking for it.
And what's happening in their area? Because it could be very geographic specific, you know.
Yes, exactly.
We're talking about not being able to supply, I believe, co-op with veggies, and the vendor is just, like I said, it's just made for the excess. If you can't eat it, you can list it and just sell it to a neighbor, and that neighbor knows, or other community member, could be 5 blocks away or 1 mile away. They know exactly who's growing their food, how it's being grown, where it's being grown. They can either have it delivered to them. There's an option for that, and the delivery is done by the grower themselves, and they set a delivery fee of their choosing. They also set their own price for their veggies, and we don't charge our growers a single thing. We don't charge them a dime to sell their produce. If you list your cherry tomatoes for $5 a pound, you make $5.
So how do you make generate revenue then?
So we have a 20% service fee, but it's added to the total order and it's on to the consumer, which ends up really just being pennies.
Yeah, and see, this is a total millennial like idea, like solving problem, like farmers markets are like somebody just asked me yesterday, they're like, are you going to be at the Whitefish Farmers Market? And I was like, no, because like me being regulated and having to go to a farmers market on the same day at the same time every week of the summer just kills me. Like I just like have a big hesitation against that, I guess. And it's just hard for me, you know, summer's busy and people are busy. And so they want it when they want to be able to get it. It's just easier to say, hey, I'm coming to town today. Can I pick up those cherries on my way? I'm sure. Or can you bring them by, you know, make it easy for the grower? When's a good time for you to harvest? Can you drop them off? So much easier to fit into people's schedules.
Yeah, and which is great. There's two things that I like to talk about with that. With farmers market, usually there's a fee for the day, then there's an annual membership cost, and sometimes they take a percentage of the total sales of that day. So that really adds up for cost. And I know that from the farmers I've talked to, their average profit margin is about 1%, which personally I think is just ludicrous. And I know that their distribution system or the distributors charge between 35 and 55% of total sales, which I don't find right. I mean, the growers, the gardeners, the farmers, they're putting all the work in, they're paying for the water, the soil, weeding, doing pest maintenance and pest control. It's an incredible amount of work. Packaging, delivering it to the farm stands, they shouldn't be making 45% of the total sale. And that kind of ties into why we don't charge our growers anything, because personally, I just don't find it right. It's just not right to charge them. They're doing all the work. And for
Excellent.
the farmers, they use vendor. They can accept pre-orders, which would allow them to know what they're going to sell ahead of time at the farmers market, which reduces the waste of unsold produce. Because a lot of times they just cut it in bulk, show up at the farmers market and hope to sell it all. And then when they don't, they either try to sell it the next day, but then, that's a full day where it's been off the vine, so the nutrients are being depleted. Or they deliver it to food banks, which is an incredible thing. I think that we need more people donating to food banks because community members need fresh produce. So it provides a little bit of an outlet or a useful tool for the farmers and for the consumer and for the grower, that ease of use to be able to go online, place an order, talk to your gardener, your grower, find a time that you guys can meet up. That actually cuts down on the harvest time from when it's harvested and in your hands. Our average time from harvest to the consumer's hands is about 30 minutes. So sometimes you're getting lettuce with dirt still on it.
Nice. Well,
Yeah,
that's
and
the
our
best
average
way in a
just.
lot of ways because, you know, you get that stuff at the store that they're like spraying and washing, and then it doesn't last because it's like wet already.
Yeah, and they can, for lettuce, it could be, 2 weeks before it's on the shelf or before it's in your hand. I mean, the average food in the U.S. travels 1,500 miles.
and vendor's average is under five.
Nice. That's amazing.
We're super hyper local produce.
I love it. Did you say there were two things? Did you get both things that you wanted to talk about?
I think
Yeah.
so.
Okay. So we've been talking for a
Austin,
while.
something I did.
And I always kind of like to start the show out asking about your very first gardening experience. So growing up in Southern California, I imagine your parents had a farm, but I could be, I mean, a garden, but I could be wrong. Like, where did, like, what's your first memory? Like, what, who were you with and what did you grow? How old were you? Were you a
Yeah.
kid, an adult?
My very first memory, I'm reaching far back, and it's kind of hazy. I remember a backyard garden at the house I grew up in, and I don't remember exactly what they were growing. I'm sure tomatoes were some of it, sunflowers, because I remember the sunflowers being taller than I was, and I was getting lost in this vegetable garden or this garden.
Nice. Aw.
But I really started getting into it about a year ago. I figured, if I'm interacting with these gardeners and consumers, and I don't know much about gardening, I need to. So I just kind of jumped right into it. I joined a master gardener's class for grow your own veggies and just dove in and gathered as much information as possible. I talked to the vendor community that we've got a bunch of growers and with all different types of systems. And so I learned about that, and I have three raised beds and started, planting and doing, the different types of soil and fertilizers. And we used a pelleted chicken fertilizer.
Oh.
So it was just, jump in and just get your hands dirty.
Nice.
Which kind of brings me to my next one, because I listened to one of your podcasts. I've actually been listening to a few of them this week,
Cool.
and one of them was talking about a no-till garden. Can't remember what his name was off the top of my head, but I thought that sounds great. That kind of ties into how lazy I am. If I don't have to till it, then that's fantastic. Or permaculture, where you can just kind of let it grow as it is, pull up a weed and just leave it there.
I know. Well, it's so interesting because, like, so my husband's really the gardener, and so I've been watching him, over these years. But, like, now after listening to my podcast and learning about the no-till, and I think it was probably David Montgomery from Seattle, like right near you, because he just wrote a book about that. So that seems like that might have been the most recent one that you were listening to. But yeah, I'm constantly looking, going, so we should be planting a cover crop here. So this should be a cover crop here, and we should just be turning it in instead of digging up all this crabgrass. And like, there should have never been crabgrass allowed to grow here to begin with. It should have just been some kind of a cover crop that not only does it reduce your need to weed, but it's better for the soil and better for all the microorganisms. And I'm like still working on putting out the last day I really had, I had 2 days off at Easter, and then February 24th is like all I've had off all spring. I did five interviews on February 24th, and three of them I'm frantically trying to get them posted, but two of them are with soil scientists.
Oh,
And so
cool.
I'm really excited to get those up because, yeah, because that's really what it comes down to is the biggest thing I've definitely learned on my show is healthy soil is the key to all success, whether you're, growing trees natively or you're, growing eggplants, whatever you're trying to grow, fruit trees, flowers, herbs, spinach, broccoli, just anything. The key is totally your soil. And yeah, so it's not even as much about less work as it is, it's just the right thing to do. It's good for your, it will help you get more nutrient dense fruits and vegetables. I'm glad you're listening
Yeah,
to my
and
show.
yeah, I think it's fantastic. You've had some incredible people, and it's just the information is just gold.
Thanks. Well, it's because of great guests like you and amazing rock star millennials like you. And just like, I don't know, to me, you have a ton of energy and you've done so much. And it's just the way you've gone about doing it. And so, Meagan Keane's been one of my biggest listened to guests because she's just strategic about gardening and being effective. And like, she's like, I love my garden, but I don't want to waste time and energy doing things that aren't going to produce the best results. And so I think she's listened to so much because her website, Creative Vegetable Gardener, teaches you how to get the most, you know, we're all busy people in this day and age. And we just, like you said, millennials, we want to be, they want to be, I'm not a millennial, but, you know, efficient and effective and just doing, getting the most bang for your buck. And so, and just, yeah. I love the whole hyper local thing. Your stuff is 5 minutes from people, you know, people keep telling me lately, I've been hearing a lot, you know, back before World War II or just, you know, not very long ago, there weren't even big grocery stores full of food. Everybody had a garden. You had to grow, you know, and there was so much more local produce. And I think people want to get back to that.
Yeah, there was a huge push for local gardens and community gardens, especially during and after World War II with the Victory Gardens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was, you know, massive for our local or hyper-local produce economy.
Yeah. So how did you learn how to garden, like, organically and doing it that way? Like, from all these farmers that you've been, like, visiting in the community you're kind of building there? Do you have a Facebook community or is it just on your website?
Well, I originally learned from my mom a little bit. You know, I just asked what she knew, you know, can you get out into the garden a little bit with me and teach me a little bit? And then I went to the gardener's class there's just a wealth of knowledge. And then the vendor community, you know, just asking them. I meet my growers. I like to go out to them, see their garden, shake their hand, you know, get my hands dirty in their soil, help them out, and just see what they produce in their systems. And then I'll just ask them questions. And now our community has grown quite a bit. We launched the new online platform February 26th of this year because everything was originally on bicycle, you know, post-it notes on the walls, phone calls and emails to see if what people had, which allowed me to see all the problems with that and create a solution that allows it to scale. And since we launched February 26th, we are now in 22 cities, I think, across 11 states.
Oh my goodness.
It kind of blew up a little bit pretty quickly. And I actually went back to the Silicon Valley Business Plan competition this year.
You did?
2 weeks ago. Yeah.
How'd
and
it go?
We took first.
No way.
We took first. Yeah. So it was great to come back and say, all right, you know, I took, you know, your advice. I took some, you know, step back, thought about it, pivoted, made some changes, really, you know, hit the ground. And this is what I've got. And, you know, this is what we're bringing to the table this year. And so we won. We took first place.
Oh, my goodness. You have to get on John's show. I'll send you the link so you can share that. Because I swear you are like, you know, your name's going to be right up there with like the owners of Uber and Airbnb. And you're going to be the food guy, like the farmer food guy. Because this is like big now. And you're like solving a problem a lot of people have. And it's because of like the steps that you're taking, building community, going out there, going to that very first, you know, young professionals meeting and listening to what problem they were saying and then coming up with a solution and then doing it on very small scale, going around with your bike, post-it notes. I can just picture. I love it. You know what else I was going to tell you? It's interesting with the bike thing because one of my best episodes, I talked to this woman, Heather Wood, and she's from Olympia, and she went around on her bike with compost and had a composting business on her bike that, you know, delivered, like made these little community compost piles and people could, you could either, you know, have your compost picked up with a bucket and brought there, or if you wanted compost for your garden, you could have it delivered and just same type of deal. I love that.
Oh, that's
cute. Yeah.
Would you just send me her information as well or her link or anything?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Tell us about something that grew well in your garden this year.
What's going well or what's not going well?
Let's do what's going well first, and then we'll talk about what's not going well later.
Okay. Kale was just rampant. We had red Russian kale, Tuscan kale, green curly kale, purple curly kale as well. and that just took off. And what else do we have? We've got one bed of strawberries that are just just delicious. You know, the strawberries that actually just, they taste like a strawberry instead of just looking like one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the incredible part. You know, to go be able to walk into your side yard and, you know, pick up a handful of strawberries where the flavor just explodes.
I know. And like, I bring home like a little thing of strawberries and Mike's always like, nice thing of pesticides you got there. And like, he's not even that excited for me to like put them in the compost because strawberries are some of the most pesticide laden, you know, fruits and vegetables that you buy.
Yeah, so they're part of the dirty food.
Yeah. So that's great. Well, how about, is there something you're excited to try next year that you haven't tried before? Something new?
There's a ton. I want to try, there's a grower out in Greeley, Colorado, Brennan Murphy, and he has Lucid Gem tomatoes. And I would love to try those and try to grow them. They're about the size of a beefsteak tomato. They're red and purple on the outside. You cut them in half and they have a yellow meat on the inside with a dark red center. So it's just... Mm. Crazy looking tomato, and from what I hear, they're delicious. So I would love to try planting those.
Cool. They sound kind of like a tie-dyed tomato. That would be fun.
Yeah, that's the other cool thing about what's kind of come about with vendors, the variety that you can find. Because they're backyard gardeners, they're doing it for fun. They can plant all sorts of different heirlooms. They can just experiment. And, you know, he's actually changed his whole front yard from grass to a vegetable garden. So you have
awesome.
All these different varieties. Atomic grape, cherry tomatoes, Macedonian peppers. It's just real cool. You can't find this stuff at the grocery store because they don't,
you don't
in mass production. It's all small batch, real small scale.
Excellent. Well, you want to tell us about something that didn't work so well this season or maybe that didn't come out the way you wanted it to?
Yeah, cauliflower. My cauliflower didn't work.
It's tough.
So, yeah, that flowered pretty quick. So that's something I'll have to learn, cauliflower and broccoli.
Yeah. Poor Mike had a deer get in the garden yesterday and, like, somehow the door got pried open or something. And I think three of them, they ate almost all of his broccolis that were doing so well. But I think one of the big things he learned about broccoli is that it's almost better in the fall. As a fall crop than a summer crop because it does that. It gets hot and it bolts. It's tough.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it did for us at least. And we've got a big deer problem too. Here in Port Townsend, deer walk the streets. There's two things that cause traffic in Port Townsend. A red light at one of the three lights that are here and deer.
That's funny. Yesterday, so when we were in the park, I took a picture. I was telling my husband of the my friend that came with me. Her son was 13 years old, and he was taking this picture of this deer. And my husband's like, oh, he hasn't seen a deer before. And I was like, look at the picture I took. And I counted there's 16 people taking a picture of the deer. It's pretty funny. So, anyway, yeah, because we have deer. I was like, we have deer. They live under the trampoline. They're just constantly here. Like, our yard, we have to have big fence. Like, I was so surprised that it managed to get into the, to his, like, a little mini farm that I call it. But, yep, deer are, you know, one of the first things I think you learn is you got to keep the deer out. For sure.
Yeah.
We've tried too many times to, like, plant things and, like, put little mini covers over it or just, I don't know. We've lost a lot of stuff to deer. They're tough. That's funny. The red light or deer stops traffic. Before we get to the root of things, we're going to thank our sponsors and affiliate links. Do you love to listen to audio as much as I do? Have you ever tried an audiobook? As a fan of this podcast, you must already enjoy listening to stories just like I do. Well, the Organic Gardener podcast has teamed up with Audible to offer you a free audiobook. Just go to www.organicgardenerpodcast.com/book or just type book into the search bar at theorganicgardenerpodcast.com and you can get entered to get listening to your first audiobook today. Did you know that you could support the Organic Gardener podcast without doing anything differently. If you're going to buy something on Amazon.com, since I'm an Amazon affiliate, if you go to Amazon through a link on my page, which every book that is listed on my website is linked to Amazon.com, you don't have to buy that book, but anything you buy that day from Amazon will give me a very, very small commission. But I got to tell you, it would sure help pay for, you know, just some of the basics it costs to keep the podcast up there. And now let's get to the root of things. It's kind of like the lightning round in other shows. So it's just going to be like some quick answer, quick questions, just like, you know.
Okay.
What's your least favorite activity to do in the garden? Like, is there something you have to force yourself to get out there and do?
Yeah, weeding. Because I live in the Pacific Northwest, it rains all the time. Weeds just are, you know, an everyday problem.
Yeah.
You can do, you know, hours and hours of weeding. The next day it rains, and then it's like it doubled.
Oh, no. Do you have a tool that you use for that, or do you just hand weed?
There's a, I can't remember the name of it. It's a little Japanese tool. It's a little handle. It's like a mini scythe that lets you get into the root. That I use pretty often. That's probably the biggest one, yeah.
Cool. How about, on the flip side, what's your favorite activity to do in the garden then?
Harvest, eat. I know one of your other guests said that harvesting isn't a, what was it?
Wasn't their favorite?
One of their favorites, yeah. You know, but I mean, that's why we do it. We do it because we like the way it looks and we want to be able to eat delicious food.
Yeah. So. Well, I think sometimes it depends on, like, how much you grow. And sometimes, like, it's hard if you're out there and you're bending over and you have, like, a huge crop of beans and you've been doing it for 3 days or you're tired and it's just, like, that time of year. But yeah, harder. I don't know. I go back and forth with it. Like, sometimes I'm like, oh, I don't want to have to go get that lettuce right now. I'm tired. But, you know, it does only come up certain times a year. So, I don't know. It's kind of a love-hate thing for me.
Yeah.
But,
and, you know, quite frankly, I think weeding is, it goes hand in hand. Sometimes it can be a little meditative. I hate it for the most part, but it can be a little meditative where you zone in, just kind of get some tunnel vision. And then you're just pulling and moving.
That's why, like, I'm a big proponent of deep beds. Because I like, if I'm going to weed, I want to be able to sit on the edge of that bed. Like, Mike planted this little mini farm this year. And, like, that's too hard for me. You're bending over. It's all coming out of the ground. And it's giant. It's a little more than I can take in. But, like, I've kind of been, like, working on taking over his old beds that are more, like, closer to the house. And, like, doing more there. So, I think it just depends on the, you know, the size of what you've got going on there, how much time you have. It can be meditative. And then I always kind of call it like the chalkboard effect. Like, I love like wiping off the chalkboard or the whiteboard. And like, I don't know, there's just something about it. So like when you're done weeding, you have those nice clean rows and everything looks real pretty. I do like that part.
Yeah, that part's really nice.
So, what's the best gardening advice you've ever received?
What we mentioned about earlier, which is the soil, that everything really has to do with the soil. Pay close attention to it.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have the right soil, the right soil nutrients, or the right chemical balance, you're going to be fighting an uphill battle right from the get-go all season.
Do you send in like a soil test?
I haven't, but I would like to. And I would also like that to be something for vendor where, gardeners can send in their soil and see exactly what they're working with. I think that'd be a great tool.
Because a lot of people have talked about getting that soil test. And like, I went to this thing, we had this, they call it the Free the Seeds event, and people can come, they like share seeds. And then there's these workshops. And this guy who was actually one of the first three episodes I interviewed, Todd, I always forget how to say his name, Eluzio, who has a farm near us, talked a lot about the soil, and I even talked my husband into sending it in this year, and then I never did go get the soil test done. I should do it because it's only like $14, I think he said, to this one place he talked about, and you just kind of like dig up soil from like four corners of your garden and shake it up in a jar and send it in, and it takes about 2 weeks. And G. Martin Fortier, I think, also talked about soil. So, like, I've had a lot of guests talk about the importance of getting a soil test done, but we've never done one on our place. Because what did they say? Was it Elliot Coleman, like, found out, like, he was missing some weird, is it boron or some just, like, weird mineral, and that changed, like, everything that you wouldn't normally. So that would be cool if Vinder had that, too. So is Vinder, like, an app on your phone, or it's just a website, or both, or how does it work again?
Yeah, right now it's just a website. You can just go to veggievendor.com. We do have plans to make it an app because it would just be so easy. So we will be working on that. But right now it's just a website.
That's okay. I like websites. How about a favorite tool that you'd like to use? Is it that Japanese sickle, or was there something else? Like, if you had to move and could only take one tool with you, what could you not live without?
Oh, man, that's a great, great question. It'd probably be that Japanese hand weeding tool or a Gentoo knife.
Mm-hmm. How about your favorite recipe? What do you like to cook from the garden the most?
Yeah, you know, I'm a big fan of asparagus, and I recently had a recipe that just blew my mind. It was roasted asparagus with smoked bacon grease on top of it with cracked salt and pepper.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And it was just delicious. And it's probably that the bacon fat, but, you know, worth it.
Are you growing asparagus?
I'm not, no. But there are a bunch of growers in the area that are growing it. I actually just went to a garden last weekend and saw asparagus about 7 feet high, which I'd never seen before. It blew my mind. I had no idea it could get that tall, because from the supermarket, you just see it as maybe 5 inches. But this stuff was just massive.
Like a 7 foot stalk? Or like this is like after it went to seed and like the flowers like getting that tall?
Let's see. It was probably the stalk itself was probably about 5 feet.
Oh my goodness.
5 feet. It was massive. Huge. I've got a picture with and two of my interns were standing in front of it. And it comes over the top of us. It was crazy.
Cool. Okay, well, maybe I can put the picture in the show notes. That sounds awesome. I had no idea that asparagus got that big either.
Yeah, that's what I find so cool about this and fascinating. You know, you go to these gardens and your mind gets blown because you get to see what produce really looks like when it's in the garden, you know, when it's in the dirt, you know, and how tall it can really get.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had a lot of guests talk about how pretty the flowers are from, like, if you let the stuff go to seed, like, even just radishes or carrots or just different vegetables that you let go to seed, you know, how that makes a beautiful piece in your garden.
Yeah, and also extremely beneficial for the bees and just other insects.
Yeah, you know, exactly. So how about a favorite internet resource? Do you want say Vinder, or you have somewhere else, or
Google?
Cool.
Google is by far one of my most used, and then second to that would be Vinder, because you can just contact a grower and ask a question.
That's excellent. My friend who came to hike Glacier Park with me yesterday is a veterinarian, and she's like, oh, Dr. Google. And she said it's funny because, you know, customers are always, or, you know, patients or people with, you know, pets are coming in and they're like, oh, I Googled this. And she, I just thought it was so funny. I never heard anybody refer to Dr. Google.
Yeah, pretty good. Yeah.
But yeah, for sure. Google is a great site. And then I love this Vinder site. So I think that's awesome. How about a favorite reading material, like a book or a magazine or a blog or anywhere you'd like to go you want to recommend?
Yeah, let me pull out. I've got a book. It's not so much on gardening itself, but I've been reading it quite often lately. It's Street Farm by Michael Abelman, Growing Food, Jobs, and Hope on the Urban Frontier, all about urban farms, which has just been fascinating.
Ooh, I'm going to have to check that out because not only are urban farms really popular, like the episodes where people have talked about that, but I love books like that. That sounds cool.
Yeah, that whole urban farm movement is incredible. And they're getting the people in cities to actually, you know, go down to a plot. They're turning empty lots into flourishing gardens.
I know. And saving the soil, like, you know, like, oh my gosh, I'm going totally blank, but like, what is it called? Not reclamation, but I don't know. Oh, resiliency, like making the soil, you know, taking places that are like, you think that land is never going to come back and just, you know, making it into not just a pretty place, like in a productive garden, but just like, you know, healing the planet.
Yeah. And doing it in a way that's environmentally friendly, right? Using cover crops and just, you know, naturally replenishing the soil with the good nutrients.
Excellent. So, Mr. Businessman, what kind of business advice do you have for listeners on how to sell extra produce or get started in the industry?
Sure. So if you're a gardener looking to sell on Vendor, you can just go to the website, you sign up, and as soon as you post an item, then you're placed on the map. That way people in your community can know where you are. They know that, you know, there could be something growing or there's something ripe. You have two options. So if you mark it as growing, it's displayed on the map, but you just can't purchase it. You have something to look forward to. If you mark it as ripe, you're displayed on the map and people can buy it. It's really a request. You get an email that says, you know, Sam has requested rosemary. And you can either accept or decline the request. So you can be as active or inactive as you want. It's not designed to be a job. It's designed to make some side income, side cash, just selling that excess that you have. And for those who, you know, are trying to get started in business for the first time in general, and maybe having doubts or, you know, are nervous, I'd say just do it. Jump in and do it. And try to do it the cheapest way possible to see if your idea is actually valid. Because you could spend, let's say, $30,000, and then your market doesn't want it, you know. But I started on foot and bicycle. It cost me nothing but time, but I learned that people would actually use something like this. And I validated the idea that home gardeners would sell their produce, the idea that people wanted to buy homegrown produce, and the idea that they would buy it online. And I did that for, I mean, I started Vendor for less than $20 using a bicycle, you know. So my advice would be just jump in, make the jump, do it, see if it is a valid idea, and then hang on for that ride.
Excellent. There's so many great things there. You've got to get on John's show. You totally have to get on his show. And just... I really feel like I'm talking to like some future CEO down the line whose business is going to be, Vendor's going to be a household name. We're all going to be like, how did we live without it before? Okay. So my final question goes like this. It's kind of a doozy. If there's one change you would like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there a charity or organization you're passionate about or a project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, nationally, or globally?
Yeah, the thing that I'd like to see, especially in supermarkets, is the information of how that produce is grown. So if you go to the supermarket and you get that quote-unquote traditional produce, I'd like to see a little plaque right next to it that says, this is the farm where it's coming from. These are the chemicals, insecticides, and pesticides that were used, right? This mm-hmm. is how far it traveled, and this is how long it's been off the vine. I think if that was implemented, that we would see a huge decrease in purchases of the quote-unquote traditional produce. And we'd see a skyrocket of demand for local, organic, non-GMO, produce. That's what I would really like to see. And then this, an increase of the hyper-local produce, this peer-to-peer contact where you really get to know who your grower is. And it provides a connection, not only with you and your grower, but with the community, because you'll be meeting growers all over town. So it makes a stronger community, both, on an emotional, and personal side, as well as an economic side, because the money just stays within the community. So it creates this money multiplier effect. And, awesome. And a more transparent agricultural system, an agricultural system that's sustainable, that is environmentally friendly, that doesn't use huge insecticides and pesticides, which ruin soil nutrients. They're using cover crops, using just all different methods that replenish the nutrients into soils.
Oh my gosh, you have dropped so many golden seeds today. I know this is going to go into my top, listen to episodes. You have so many cool things to say. And just, I call all my listeners, my audience, the green future growers, because they're growing a greener future. And I've loved everything. It's been such an honor to talk to you today and share your story. And I hope tons of people sign up for Vendor and it changes. I know it's changing people's lives. It's changing the way we eat. It's changing the way we think. It's so true. I get so frustrated when you go to the store and who needs watermelon in January? We don't need to eat watermelon in January in Montana, or, just some of the crazy foods that people have come to expect, shopping with your dollars is important. And I just think you really touched on that, and just, you've been a super guest. I cannot thank you enough for sharing with us today.
Well, thank you for having me. You're actually my first podcast ever.
Cool.
So thank you for that.
Well, get on them. You should talk to Chris Blanchard too, from the Purple Pitchfork. He's got a great show where he talks more to farmers, but I'm sure he'd be interested. And so my battery is going to die. So I'm quickly just going to do you have an inspirational tip or quote? Not that you haven't told us tons of inspiring stuff to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden.
Let's see. Yeah, gardening doesn't have to be overwhelming.
Nice.
It can be simple as one or two indoor plants, or it could be in barn. You don't have to look at it as a massive undertaking. It can be simple. Experiment, learn, and indulge in the delicious backyard delicacies that you can grow. Life's a garden, Dig it. Oh, and
do what's ripe?
Yeah, we use that as a hashtag for Vendor. Do what's ripe.
I love that. I so love that. And I love Life's a Garden, dig it. Because my husband's business is called Dirt Diggers. So that's perfect. And just tell everybody your website one more time and how to connect with you.
Sure. The website is www.veggievendor.com. You can contact me at sam@veggievendor.com. I'm more than happy to answer any questions. I'll Skype with anyone who wants to Skype. I'll just talk with them, and we're always looking for feedback and suggestions. We're an open and transparent company.
Awesome. Well, good luck to you. And I know that someday Sam Lilly, right? Sam Lilly, you are going to be as famous as Sam Walton. And you're just a total rock star millennial out there changing our world. So best of luck and keep in touch. I hope we get to meet someday when either you come to Glacier or I get out to Washington, and send me some pictures, okay?
Okay, thanks, Jackie. I'll actually be doing a Vendor tour where I meet the users and growers and just, go around I want to go around the country and just see who's using Vendor and how we can make it better and see what kind of local food systems are out there.
Excellent. I got a school bus you can take. It needs some work.
That would be awesome. That would be so cool.
We'll see if we can get it running. It's a 1965 Chevy, but it's really nice because it has the mobile home. Everything's buckled in and locked. So when you're driving, your cabinets and all, it's got a fridge, or not a fridge, but a sink. And But it's been sitting in my yard for what? My grandson's 20, so it's been sitting in my yard for 20 years at least without running, but it needs brakes. I don't
Oh,
know.
okay.
Something to
Well,
think
thanks for
about.
having me.
All right.
It's been an incredible experience.
Cool. Well, thank you for all you're doing. And take care.
Yeah, you too.
All right. Bye, Sam. Hey, green future growers. Do you love to listen to audio as much as I do? Have you ever tried an audiobook? As a fan of this podcast, you must already enjoy listening to stories just like I do. Well, the Organic Gardener podcast has teamed up with Audible to offer you a free audiobook. Just go to www.organicgardenerpodcast.com/book or just type book into the search bar at theorganicgardenerpodcast.com and you can get entered to get listening to your first audiobook today. If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Thanks again for listening and remember to grow.